Estelle, and I'm part of the team here at Impact, and I'm here to preach the God's word with you today. So our pastors, as Pastor Daryl already said before, that they're away on holiday just for a week. They come back tonight, and so that they need to be just have some time away, time to revive, time to survive, time to be refreshed. So I'm here to share the word of God with you today. So, but before we do that, I've got a couple of things that I want to make an announcement with you today, as we had in church news. This Tuesday, all our musos, all our creative team, we have 7 p.m. We have our creative team night, so please be there. And for those of you who are wanting to join, please be there as well. It's going to be here at church, 7 p.m. Wednesday, for all the leaders and teams, if you lead a team or you're part of the team, please be here. We have our equip night at 7:30. It's going to go for about an hour and a bit, and it's just some time for us, for Pastor Tony to impart with us and just talk about some leadership things that he needs to talk about. So that night is for all of the leaders and teams. And if you're just newly serving, or if you want to join a team, please come. There's no secret business over that happening over there. It's just one of those things that we need to do. Now, hands up if you're a male. Oh, well, that's a bit... Where are all the other males? Men. Men, we have a bloke's barbecue bash and burn this Saturday. And it's going to be at Shannon Megan's house. Can you please stand up, Shannon? Shannon is our men's director. He's just come back. He's been away working very hard. And so please, if you... a man and you and ladies, kick out your men out of the house and they need to come to this. Okay, it's $10 and it's going to be some really good bloke time. Yeah? So bring a friend. It's always good at Shannon's house, so it's always a time for that to some connection for men. So who remembered my preach 2 weeks ago? Wow. That's okay. I don't even remember what I did yesterday, so that's okay. Part two of my message, I told you, so 2 weeks ago I shared a message on whatever it takes. And, you know, that phrase really was born out of a phrase that I believe God has dropped in my heart while I was having a shower. And like I told you before, He speaks to me in the shower. I don't know how He speaks to you, whether through the word or whether, you know, audibly, but He often speaks to me while I'm in the shower. It's only because I'm still and I am wet and I don't get to go anywhere. So He speaks to me there and then. And so He dropped this phrase to me. It says, the hunger, the level... What did he say? The level of my hunger will dictate the level of how I will be filled. So the conversation started and the dialogue started, and I asked God, what does he mean when he said that? And then so I asked him, what is that? And then so he asked me, well, what are you hungry for? And so I proceeded to tell him the list of what I'm hungry for. I said, God, I'm hungry for your presence. Lord, I'm hungry to see this church move forward to the next level and to the next season in our journey. Lord, I'm hungry to see my friends and family come to know and encounter the Jesus that I know, the resurrected King that I know. Lord, I'm hungry for young people to just wake up and know that there is a God and that there are part of that generation where God is moving. Lord, I'm hungry to see the sick healed and the lost found. And so I'm hungry for this. So on and on it went. And then he said to me then, whatever it takes. So then again, I'm in this journey for about a month now of doing whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to see those things that I'm hungry for. And I wonder today, church, whether you are in that same position. You see, we're all in a journey of God, where God is taking us, of where God is wanting to do in us. And so the question is posed, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? It is hard, it is exhausting. I feel stretched whenever I in this journey of whatever it takes. But God is saying to me, and God is saying to you, when I pose the same question to you, is that, what are you hungry for? Because the level of your hunger will dictate the level you will be filled. And obviously, God wasn't speaking to me about my natural hunger, but my spiritual hunger. I'm hungry for the things of God to move and to see it come to fruition. And so, you know, I say that to say this, is that when you're hungry, God will see to it that you will be filled. God will see to it that you will be filled. We see in Mark 2 verse 1 to 5, which was my foundational text, it was the whatever it takes story. It was a story of Jesus that he healed a paralyzed man. And in that, I gave you four simple thoughts to get off of our mat. Okay? I said in those four thoughts is that we need an ask. A-S-K. We need an ask. And in that ask, we need to attach something in our ask. It could be a faith. It could be trust. It could be, you know, gratitude. We need to attach something in our ask. And then we need an agreement in our ask. We see in this passage of scripture, four men agreed to lower him to the feet of Jesus. We see four men agreed to dig a hole on the roof and to lay him down at the feet of Jesus. And number four, we needed to take action in our ask. So Jesus is going to ask you to do something in your ask. He will ask you either to stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And so we see this passage unfolding. And today I want to continue that conversation. So the title of my message is Doors, Rooms, and Mat. As you can see, we have a door. Last week, we had a table. I don't know what we're going to have next week. It's a surprise. But I wonder, this morning, I had to enter a door. You know, when you come through those doors of the church this morning, I don't know what you felt and what's going on in your life and what moment you are in and what space you are in. But I had to enter the door, re-enter the room where I felt discouraged, where I felt I had doubts, where I felt disillusioned. And today, God is going to ask you to re-enter the room where you once felt you've had joy, where you once felt the joy of salvation is bubbling up, but then there isn't anything anymore. God is going to ask you to enter a room full of people where they smile and they nod and say, hi, how you going? And I'm fine. But deep inside, you're crushed. You feel defeated. You feel disillusioned. You feel despair. You feel discouraged. And today and this morning, God's going to ask you to re-enter the room, to re-enter His house where you can find joy again. You know, I'm aware in this passage there are several sermons that I could apply, but I felt God speak to me about this and He wanted me to talk about the door, the room, and the mat. You see, there is an enemy out there. Not that I'm trying to scare you or there's a tactic or anything like that, but he's real. The enemy is real and he's out there to kill, steal, and destroy you. He's not just a guy who happens to wear a red suit with horns and with a pitchfork in his hand. No, that's like Hollywood stuff. He is real and he roars around like a lion, seeking who he may devour. And sometimes we give him a door to enter in. Sometimes we give him a door so that he can enter, and it will come in a form of distraction. It will come in a form of discouragement. It will come in a form of disillusion. It will come in a form of doubt. John 10:10 states that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the enemy will put things in our path to derail, discourage us from continuing on the journey he has destined for us to walk into. So over these few moments, I want to draw out from this passage of scripture in Mark 2 some elements that Jesus illustrated that could hinder us in becoming a better human being, that hinders us in becoming a better follower of Jesus. I want to read it to you. And I want you to activate your senses today in that to figure out what is happening in this scripture. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." So we see in this scripture, Jesus used a door, a room, and a mat. He used four men, the crowd, and the teachers of the religious law, known as the scribes in those days, as an analogy to this passage. So I want to talk about the door of your life, the door of my life, the door in which we open and shut. You see, if I liken the door, it's like a door in our house. You know, in your house, there are many doors. There are many doors. And if I can maybe describe the door of my house, is that there are times where I would just open the door and shut it so that the things behind that door could not be seen. Do you have a cupboard in your home where you could just like kind of shut the door so no one can see inside in there? You know, do you have like Tupperware cupboard? And then you kind of just shut the door, the cupboard door, so that all the lids, and then hopefully one day you open the door and then it won't fall out, all the lids. Or like a pantry door where there is lots of food and like, you know, I get teased all the time because in my house there's a pantry door and there's in the garage there's another pantry door. There's all these doors and I'm thinking, what are you? Are you a hoarder of food? Yes, I am. Yeah. It's like a food co-op in my house. But, you know, there are times where, you know, if we liken this in a spiritual content of our life, we have a door, the door of our heart, and we shut it. Because we want to protect ourselves. We want to protect the things that are sacred in there. And you know, when people come into the house and sometimes they come out, they come and jump for a pastoral visit or something like that, or they just come unannounced and you go, oh, hang on, let's hide everything in there. Because we don't want them to see it. We don't want them to see the state of our house. And if you think about your house, there are many doors where you can shut, where you can hide things from. You know, we can hide our disappointments behind the door. We can come through the doors of the church and we smile and we have our makeup on. And for the men, maybe you do have a little bit of blush on, I don't know. But We hide behind a facade. We, you know, we discourage and we're depressed or we're in despair or we're in doubt. We come through the doors and looking really nice and pretty, all dressed up and everything like that. But the doors of our heart, needs work on. We try to shut that door of disillusionment and doubts. As I continue to read this passage, I can only imagine the disappointment of the men, these men that carried the paralyzed man in front of Jesus. They must have felt after arriving too late that, oh no, the door, there's no door, there's no more room. You know, the door is shut. And the doubt of the paralyzed man, he probably would have told the four men, says, I told you boys, they can't get in. We should have just left me and my man and just went home. But not these four men. You see, in life it's easy to give up. It's easy to walk away. Because we think that if we walk away and go to another door of life, and maybe if we go and leave church and go to another door in another place, that we will be happy. That, you know, can I say that the grass isn't greener on the other side? Hello from the other side. It's not greener. It's greener where you water it. It's greener where you tend to it. And so you don't go looking for something else. And you know what? As a church and as a leader, I've seen it all in a sense of people come and go. People come and go in my life. People come and go in the church, or people come in jobs and whatever, not only to find that whatever they were looking for, it's not even there. Because you know what? God is wanting to work on the door of our heart. So when we enter the room, it's not that the room has changed, it's that you have changed. It's not because the environment, it's just that the state of your mind and the state of your perspective has changed. And in life, there will be times where we will get disappointed. Hands up, people, if you have never been. Just stick around a little longer and you will be. Today, I don't know what your week or your months has been like. I'm not sure what you felt as you walked through the doors of the church. But today, in our morning prayer, the team, I got them to physically shut the door of their week, shut the door of their disappointments and doubts and discouragement. And I asked them as a you know, natural activity that little did they know, a spiritual one, that they need to re-enter the room of worship. They needed to re-enter the door called serving. They needed to re-enter the door and the room again. And so for you, I wonder what rooms or what doors do you have that you keep hiding from? You know, it's okay to have these things because we're human and it's a part of our life journey. And we need to be reminded that God is bigger in all of our disappointments and God is bigger in all of our doubts. And God is not surprised, perplexed by how you feel or how discouraged you might often feel. But the disappointments and the discouragement we feel and experiences often serves a purpose to develop us, not to defeat us. It's in those dark moments where God does his most work. So I wonder today, church, whether instead of shutting the door on the disappointments, I wonder if you've shut the door of your heart. So these four men didn't give up, but they saw another way. They bypassed the conventional way of thinking, and they saw another door in a form of a ceiling because they look up. Church, can I ask you to look up? Look up. Because when you're looking down, all you can see is the problems and the discouragement. But when you look up, it's a new perspective. And maybe for you, you need to dig a hole in the form of a roof so that the people that are around your world can actually lay you in front of Jesus. The next thing he said was the rooms. The room is where the space is created for people to gather. See this room? This room is for you to gather. It's for other people that are far from God to come and gather here. Everyone is welcome here. Come as you are. But in that passage, we learn to see that it says there was no more room. And I wonder today, church, whether we make room in our hearts for people. Whether we make some room in our hearts for others. Do we have room? I see empty chairs here today. Do we have room for people to sit next to you? Because sometimes, you know, in our life, God brings people around us that are not quite the people that we think we want to hang around with. They're a little bit weird. Or they're a little bit kind of like, they're kind of a little bit kind of not like us. But, you know, we pray for people, we pray to God to say, God, bring people in our midst. But then when He does bring them, do we have room? Do you have room to sit? I hope so. Because we're in this season at the moment as a church, and we talked about the table. That the table is for people to gather. The table is for people where people can sit and be welcome and be invited and be participating in that. The table is not just for saints, but it's also for sinners. And so the room is a picture of belonging. And then there's the confused crowds. Crowds that were confused and merely onlookers to see what's going on. And the teachers and religious of the law serves the people as white noise and criticisms and chatter. You know, when you go into a room, there are always people that's going to have this white noise. There's always going to have people who will criticize you or will condemn you or do that. But I hope that this church is not a place, and I know it isn't, because we try as a team and as pastors to try very hard to have this room and this place prepared for all the people. We may not always get it right, but we prepare a room for you. We prepare a place for you. So, in those things, in those times, confusion is not of God, and there'll be criticisms and chatter, but don't let those derail you or defeat you. And then we see a mat. So this man, I'm surmising that he had a mat that he laid on for years in and year out because he was paralyzed, and it kept him contained. And you know the mat? The mat in our life. Thanks for this mat, Malcolm. It serves a purpose. This mat in our life sometimes represents the comfort that we lay in, because we lay on our mat and we go, yeah, I'll just sit here and I'll just go, I'll just wait for someone else to just come and help me. And we sit here day in, day out, week in, week out, months in, months out, year in, year out, the same posture, the same position. But sometimes we just got to get off our mat and stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Sorry. And actually pick up our mat, stand up, pick up our mat, and go re-enter the door, re-enter the room of fellowship, re-enter the room of devotion and discipleship. These things, I believe, are distractions that hinder us in stepping us from stepping in to where God has wanted us to be. So in this passage, Jesus enters like a celebrity in Capernaum and offers this paralyzed man hospitality and healing. But the problem is he can't get in. So today, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever's happened to you, what has been done to you, there's a space for you here. Jesus wants you to offer the same thing that it offered this paralyzed man, which is hospitality and healing. And you know, sometimes people think that I need healing, but sometimes the healing that you actually need is deeper than what you want. And like I said to you last week, that God would often not give you the obvious, but He will give the things that are oblivious to you. God will often bypass what you want, but give you what you need. God will often fix things in us before He fixes something for us. And this is an important one, the people we surround ourselves in. Because see, there's four men, and I try to sort of make it all kind of conventional and say Fantastic Four. The four men, which I will refer to as that, represents the people, the friends in our world, the friends in our life, who we do life with. These people took the time and did whatever it takes to carry us, to carry this man to the destination of wholeness. And you know, us here as a community, as a church community, community is not an old-fashioned idea, it's a God idea. And God did it before, where He said in Acts 2:42, it's not on the screen, but He said that all the people gathered and they ate and they supped and they sold whatever they had. And then they fellowshiped together. That's community. And I liken this as a church community. I hope there are people in here that you can count on. I hope there are people here that are your Fantastic Four. And if it's not, I'm sure that there are other people outside the four walls of this church that are your four. Community is about family. It's about engagement. The thought is this: show me your friends and I can show you your future. Do you have people in your life that will look you in the eye and tell you what you don't want to hear? Do you have people in your life that will have the hard conversations with you? You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Are we just going to be a friend of convenience, or are we going to be a friend of conviction? Food for thought, isn't it? Young people, do you have friends? You don't have friends? I hope you can find some. Friends that will actually convict you. Not condemn you. Convict you. And say, hey, you know, when you did that, that's really not cool. And actually, you need to do this. People that will come alongside you and help you, not hinder you, but help you in your journey with God. Do you have people in your life that will bring you closer to Jesus, to the feet of Jesus? Or are they a distraction to you? And distract you away from the purposes of God in your life. For those of you young people who are in relationship right now, is your relationship bringing glory to God? Is it bringing honor to Him? Or is it a distraction from where you're actually God wanting you to be in? Is the people that you hang around with, are they good for you? Is it bringing honor to those around you? For those of you who are blessed to have two sets of parents, or like, you know, a mum and a dad, and you're dating someone, are they bringing, you know, honor and glory to them? Or is it a relationship self-seeking? Is it a self-seeking relationship? Or is it self-serving? Can I say this to you? And I've found it the hard way. Just because they're good to you doesn't mean that they're good for you. Because there's a big difference. if they are distracting you away from the purposes of God, then that is a thought to ponder. That's why the Bible says that be careful who you associate with. Do not be unequally yoked, because it's harder to get out than to get in. It's been said that you are the sum of five people that you hang around with, and if you don't have the five, who are your four that can be your core? Who are your four? Because this paralyzed man had four, and the people carry him to the stretcher, you know, to the mat, and lowered him to the feet of Jesus. Do you have people around you that won't be ashamed of you and won't be embarrassed by you, but will protect you and give you safe space and place to just do the journey of life with? The company you keep says everything about you, so choose your friends wisely. Choose friends that will bring the best out of you. So in this passage, I see, as I read further, there were four men. And I'll come to think, why four? Is he that heavy or is he that obese? I know, my mind goes everywhere, isn't it? But this is what I had a revelation on. These four men who carried and lowered this paralyzed man at the feet of Jesus, each corner, I believe, represented something so tangible, which is ironically the four values of our church. These four men carried each corner to lower him to the feet of Jesus. One corner. Tell me the values. Does anyone know the values? Is it belong? So one corner is belong. One corner is believe. One corner is become. And one corner is build. These four men ushered this paralyzed man to the feet and lowered him to the feet in front of the feet of Jesus, because maybe, just maybe, I'm suggesting to you that this paralyzed man felt that he didn't belong in that room. And maybe, just maybe, he didn't feel like he couldn't believe because of the doubts and because, well, why, God, am I sick? You should supposed to have been healed me, but I'm just paralyzed. Can I suggest to you that maybe he didn't feel like he could become? And maybe he couldn't build because he was paralyzed. I wonder today, church, whether you can be one of those four people, the people in your world, the people in our community, that you can hold, that you can just get one corner for people, to usher people, whether they can believe again. Whether they can belong again, whether they can build with us again, and whether they can become. I wonder if we are those people that can do that for others. Because God has given us a door, not just for us to enter through the door, but for us to bring people in the door with us, through the door with us. I wonder if we can have the room in our house. You know, we talked about open hearts, open hands, and open homes. I wonder if our homes and the rooms in our homes are open for others, not just for our family, but for people that God's going to bring in your path. You know, I'm going to, without saying too much, just, you know, because Pastor Tony already preached about the table. We are a community. And I was talking to Daryl the other day, and how I just don't want to be part of a church that pastors a church, but I want to pastor a community of people that will know and discern the seasons we are in and propel it to the next level. So, church, some of us need to shut the door of distraction. I want to play a song. The ministry team, the worship team won't come up, but I want to play a song as you slowly kind of just have that as a background music. I'm going to keep talking. And I want to bring an atmosphere in here where you can re-enter the room, where you can shut the door of distraction and disappointments and discouragement in your life. Not so that you can hide from it, but you can re-enter the room afresh. I wonder today, as a church, for us to move forward, some of us need to shut the door of distraction and re-enter the room of devotion and discipleship. Some of us need to shut the door of offense and re-enter the room of obedience. Some of us need to shut the door on being overwhelmed and obstacles in our life and use that and re-enter the room of opportunity. And some of us need to shut the door on resentment and retreat and re-enter the room of relationship. Can you put that slide up for me? You see, this door, we all get distracted. And it's time for us, a church, to re-enter the room of devotion and discipleship. It's time for us, church, to stop being offended of things that really do not matter in the end. And actually, when God asks you to forgive somebody, that you enter the room of obedience. It's time for us, church, to stop being too overwhelmed and feeling like we have all these obstacles that we can't re-enter the room and use that room as an opportunity. We need to stop feeling resentment and retreat and isolating ourselves to build and open the door again in relationship. Can you see that God has given us a door? You just need to walk in through it. The door is not just for us, but it's for others too. It's interesting to note that the same acronym that I used there, if you take away the letter D and reverse it, if the other slide can come up please, replace the D to M, which is your mat that you serve for as an excuse that there'll be miracles that can happen. That this mat, as you see in the passage when you read it, the mat, what once served as an excuse for him, has now become a miracle for him. And I wonder today, what mat are you laying on? What mat do you keep going back to? Because the very mat is a gateway to your miracle. To church this morning, can we all stand? We need to enter some rooms today. We need to enter, or we need to shut the door of disappointment. We need to shut the door of discouragement, and we need to re-enter the room where God's presence can heal you. Where God's presence, He has an open door. We sang it this morning. Your presence is an open door. And this morning, can I encourage you to stand in His presence? In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's love, there's acceptance, where you can believe, where you can become, and you can build again. I don't know where this day finds you, but I do know there are some of you today that are discouraged. There are some of you today that are doubting. There are some of you today that are disillusioned. And God wants you to just simply re-enter the room where you can be devoted again, where you can be discipled again. Some of you are offended here today. I don't know what type of offense, but you need to shut the door of that offense and be obedient. Some of you are overwhelmed and all you could see is obstacles in your life. God's giving you an opportunity today, the door of opportunity for you to walk through. Resentment and retreat and enter the door of relationship. Revelation 3:20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." As we crank up the volume of this song, with every eye closed and heads bowed, I know there are some people here today that need to go back in devoting themselves again, in being discipled. There are some people here today that needs to be obedient to the call of God and stop running away from what God has called you to. There are some people here today that there's an opportunity for you to come. You've got to take that opportunity. And again, He wants you to enter into that relationship, the door of relationship. Whatever it takes, church, whatever it takes, will you do whatever it takes? Because you know, God has done already whatever it takes for you to be in relationship with Him. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that you don't have to suffer, so that you don't have to keep being disappointed all the time, but you can live in right relationship with Him. We're just going to create an atmosphere right now. And as you bring up that music up again, loud and clear, we're just going to stand in His presence today. And if you want to come, come. And stand in His presence. And if you want prayer for them, the ministry team will come and pray with you. But maybe we just need to shut some doors today and enter the room of a relationship with God. Thank you, Jesus.